about a couple of the movies that you have reviewed. And,
okay.
They were... Oh, Leave Her to Heaven. What a flick. Oh,
what a flick. That was a film... That movie was the big bestseller of the 40s. That book sold a zillion copies, and everybody wanted that. And he gave it to Gene Tierney. And his choice of shooting that movie in color was one of the wisest things ever.
Everybody looked gorgeous. Everything looked gorgeous.
She looked mesmerizingly beautiful. Oh. She always was slightly exotic and like a lynx. You know, Gene Tierney was raised in New York society and had gone to Swiss schools. She, like Rosalind Russell had been, they had an innate sophistication about them, the way they held themselves and carried themselves. If you watch Gene Tierney in any movie, she's so sophisticated and so slinky. You know, she has that quality about her. And the way she holds her hands, she's fabulous. And that movie was so highly melodramatic. But you can't stop watching it for a minute.
No, and you can't.
You know, and it's famous for being the Technicolor film noir. You know, that's how they look at it. But I think that, you know, Leon Chabrol's cinematography in that is just exquisite. And scene on the lake is haunting, haunting. You know,
so
the
creepy.
Fact that she does that whole scene with sunglasses on.
Yes.
One of the most... Did you ever read her book? Did you read her autobiography?
I did, years ago.
And she told that story about, you know, that she was in England and Noel Coward was at a party and she was so afraid of him because she thought he was going to be mean to her. So she hid in the kitchen and he sought her out in the kitchen and said, I tell you, Miss Tiddy, I saw Leave Her to Heaven and I thought I would be faint. You know?
she was so complex. There's part of her that I really felt badly about because people can think I'm crazy, but, you know, when they went on their honeymoon and they're at this place, hi, Dick, the little boy, good morning, Ellen, you know, they're on their honeymoon. Maybe they want to get it on, but then they got that kid there and this, and then he just behind her back brings the mother and her cousin, and it's, I don't know. There's parts of it where I see, like, you know, he just doesn't get it. You know,
his character is so undeveloped. He's just like a paper doll. You know, he doesn't have any real, there's nothing real about his character.
No, not
amazing.
At all.
And what was the word for 40s men like that? Stalwart. He's very stalwart. You know, he looks good in clothes, and he's just there to be kind of visually decorative and be always right. Why, I'm surprised, Ellen. What's the matter with you? Well, you know, your wife is mentally ill. That's what's the matter with her, you dope.
Couldn't you see that? Pretty obvious.
Oh, yeah, and he never, you know, and the way that they kind of got around it when her mother said, you must be patient with Ellen. She loves too much. She loved her father too much. You go, mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
Well, that's sort of, do you think that it all leads to speculation that it was an incestuous relationship?
I think so.
Gene says it came to be that his, you know, his soul was not his own with Ellen, who was so...
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. Oh, yeah, she just was so obsessive/possessive of him. The two most hysterical things in that movie are... Because there are some unintentionally hysterical...
Oh, my God, there sure are.
She's spreading the father's ashes, and she pours them all over the horse that she's riding.
I didn't notice that.
One side to the other, half the ashes end up on the horse's neck.
Poor horsey.
You know, and that always makes me laugh. And then the other one is that trial is the most.
Oh my God, the trial!
He never says a word.
No. Are you in love with Ruth? Are you in love with Ruth? Are you in love with Ruth? And the guy just sits back there. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
No question. No question.
He's stunk.
No questions. I go, well, you know, hey, let's get somebody here to defend the poor girl, you know.
He was the worst.
But that's stuff that you just kind of say, okay, well, there's holes you can drive through and let's keep moving, you know? I mean,
it's a great film.
It's gorgeous. It's just that old fashioned romance. It was the top grossing money maker of 45. It was Leave Her to Heaven. Yeah.
And she did.
What was the other one you were going to ask me about?
Another movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said you had a couple.
I have a bunch.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go here to. Hey, I got to ask you this. Have you ever seen or reviewed, because I was looking for it, Autumn Leaves? This is such a wonderful film.
Yeah, no, I haven't.
With Cliff Robertson and Joan.
Yeah.
She calls somebody, and you slut.
You slut, Vera Miles.
Right.
Vera Miles.
She wanted...
Your evil is too much for hell itself.
I love that movie. And she wanted Marlon Brando, but he wouldn't do the flick. So she gets Cliff Robertson, and at the end, when he's in the mental institution, they have him in a tight T-shirt the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he looked like such an infant next to her.
He did.
He was very boyish anyway. That was a very daring film to make at that time because, you know, it was always okay for an older man and a younger woman, but never for an older woman with a younger man, ever. You know, that double standard, that horrible double standard, you know. And I think that was a very brave movie for her to do at that particular juncture. I don't think that Aldrich did her any favors with the cinematography.
No.
Especially the scene when he throws the typewriter on her arm and he does that horrific close-up of her and she looks like the fifth face on Mount Rushmore. I think that Joan was very, very good at being, at tackling things that, you know, that were risky. You know the story about when she made Sudden Fear and the director was the first independent. It was the first really smart movie she made business-wise because she took a percentage. And she had just left Warner's and she didn't know what she was going to do. And David Miller came over and offered her that part. And he said, I've got a movie I want to show your leading man. And he brought over Panic in the Streets and showed it to her. And it was... She said, oh, is it Richard Widmark? And he said, no. She said, oh, is it Paul Douglas? And he went, no. And she said, well, who is it? And he said, Jack Palance. Well, she literally threw him out of her house, screaming at him, and how dare he? So about an hour later, phone rings. She picks it up. He picks it up at his apartment. She says, why do you want me to make a movie with that ugly man? Do you want the truth? And she said, let me have it. He said, he's the only man in Hollywood right now who can make you look soft and vulnerable.
Wow.
And that's not easy to take.
No.
And she said, you're absolutely right. She knew. And she did it. So that was very, she could be very brave. And of course, that was during her craziest time at home as well, which I don't want to go into.
Right.
Too many people talk about that. But I always love Joan Crawford. I can watch. I'm not fond of her 30s movies. I really couldn't care less. But from, early 40s, but from The Women right on through, you know, The Best of Everything, I think she's fantastic.
And I love her,
fantastic
too.
And Baby Jane. And I love, you know, she used to say, and forgive me if I'm quoting things, because let's face it, all the knowledge that we have was things we've read about, that right. We're just passing on stuff we've heard or read. You know. But she said, Betty Davis used to say that she was an actress and I was a movie star, but not every actress can carry a picture. And she was right. You know, Joan Crawford, like John Wayne, they come in, they did the job. They put those plots on like a well-worn coat and wore them in every movie and looked great.
She was fabulous. I think it was really awful that people didn't think she was a good actress because
She was a great actress.
I enjoyed all she did. I mean, I thought she was so good. And
I thought she should have been nominated. You know, in 1950, she did both Harriet Craig, a comedy that she shouldn't have done called Goodbye, My Fancy, and The Damn Don't Cry, all in one year. And she should have been nominated for one of those movies.
Yes.
Harriet Craig, she was fantastic.
Wasn't she? And the cuckolded husband and her lies and the whole thing. She was such a creepy character.
Oh, she really was.
But,
and she really dug into the psychological aspects of that character. You know, you could see... you can watch her quirks and things, and I always thought she was a great actress. I really did. I always thought that she showed up. She did those pictures. I see her and I sit right down and watch. You know, I turn on the TV and Crawford's on. I go, well, goodbye, everybody.
So do I.
Sit down and watch.
Even if I've seen it 20 times,
I just got this. Oh, yeah. I got one of her movies for Christmas. I have a friend of mine who feeds me Crawfords, you know, because and I said, I want you to get me Reunion in France. Reunion in France. I love it. And she, the clothes are so amazing. And she has this whole thing, you know, that actor Philip Dorn who always talks like he's got marbles in his mouth.
Yes.
And you can't understand. And everybody else around her is French. He'll do Vive la France, Vive la France. And she'll go, Vive la France. And she says, Philip Dorn will say to her, La Virgula, the looks different. And she'll look at him and she'll go, let's leave Paris and move to France. Love Reunion in France.
I really do like that movie. There's John Wayne, I know. Hiya, Mike. Yeah.
You are, Fritz. Let me tell you one thing. We'll be fighting for you, and I don't mind doing it. You are, Fritz, Mike. People are fine.
So that was the first time you had seen the film?
Huh?
That was the first time you had seen the film?
Oh, no, I wanted to own it.
Oh.
I own all my movies. I own them all. I have to. I don't want to stream movies. I don't want to do... I want to see them. I love looking at the titles on the cases. I love taking them out. That was a great love of... That was a great dream of mine when I was a kid, was to own my own movies.
You got
it's
a lot.
Like books. I don't want to read a Kindle. I want to read a book. I don't want to stream a movie. I want to pick it out of my own library and put it in.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange? But that's the way it is.
It isn't strange. You know? And I also agree with you about Kindle. There's something about reading and holding the book that you just cannot get when you have your Kindle. So.
Oh, I totally agree. And looking at it and seeing how far you've come and that you've got this much more to go and the feeling of accomplishment when you get done reading it, you know, you put it down and, wow, I read that whole thing. Great. I don't know, like a kid, I just love that.
So do I.
And can we talk about a film that I loved? I became
yes, please.
Early in. The Blue Dahlia.
That's Veronica Alan Lake.
Ladd and Veronica Lake. And it's the only original screenplay by Raymond Chandler that he wrote directly for the screen. And I've always been obsessed with Veronica Lake. I always thought Veronica Lake was a far better actress than, like, Lauren Bacall or Elizabeth Scott. To me, she really had that wry humor. She could deliver a line. She always had a look in her eye like, you know, like, this was all a joke.
Yeah, and very much a twinkle in her eye, yeah.
Yes, yes. The first thing she says to Alan Ladd, she picks him up, he's hitchhiking in the rain, and she says, need a lift? He goes, well, you could get wetter if you laid in the gutter. And in this movie, because I'm always, my great love in the films are the character people. I love all the character actors.
So do
especially
I.
Especially those women who played what we call the other woman. You know, especially in noir. And there's a woman in this movie, her name is Doris Dowling. And Doris Dowling first made a hit for herself the previous year. She was the girl in The Lost Weekend, the tramp in The Lost Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Who keeps talking about Ray Milland's the back of his hairline and going, "Natch." You know, that was her. Well, in The Blue Dahlia, she is Alan Ladd's wife who's been cheating on him the whole time he's been at the war. Edith Head designs this costume, this gold lamé costume for her with shoulder pads like a Green Bay Packer. And her hair is done up so tight. She is the ultimate dark beauty. Like Linda Darnell, that kind of, oh, my God, she's gorgeous. And the first time he sees her after 7 years, she's making out with Howard Silva on the balcony having a party. And somebody goes, "Hey, everybody, Helen's got a husband." And the camera pans across the room, and she turns into that camera, and you go, oh my gosh, she's gorgeous. And she looks up at him, and she, Howard Silva, and she goes, "Relax." And her whole attitude, she hasn't seen her husband in like 7 years, and her whole attitude is like, "Home so soon, Johnny."
No, such a sweet wife.
Oh, my God. So you go, well, she's got about 5 minutes to live, which is true, you know. But I love those. I love the dialogue. Chandler wrote so many great lines in those movies, you know. I mean, that's why Double Indemnity is so good. Chandler, you know, James M. Cain was the king of the plots, but Chandler was his dialogue. You can't beat it.
You can't.
And I love the look. And Alan Ladd and Veronica Lake were such a charismatic couple, and I love The Blue Dahlia. It's quintessential noir, because so much of noir was about these restless guys who came home from the war and didn't know what to do, and they all had post-traumatic stress, and nobody knew what that was back then.
Shell shock, but they didn't understand it at all.
No, they'd seen too much, these poor guys. Ugh. You know, they'd seen way too much.
Their friends
and
getting blown up.
They couldn't go back to their hometown sweethearts and just pretend that nothing had happened, you know?
Like Marie in, I loved
Best
Virginia Mayo, her in The
absolutely.
Best. Come on, get over it. You're home now. Forget it. You're home now.
Uh-huh. And she was terrific in that.
She was fabulous.
You know who's another one who's really great is Rita Johnson. Do you know Rita Johnson? Rita Johnson is Charles Laughton's mistress that he murders in The Big Clock with Ray Milland. Did you ever see The Big Clock?
I did, but I don't remember her.
Oh, my God, she's great. Instead of, like, giving him, you know, playing the mistress as sort of like a dumb floozy, they make her ultra-sophisticated and real smart. And she goes to Ray Milland, and Charles Laughton is his boss, and he's he's a publishing magnate. And she essentially says to Ray Milland, you know the professional aspect of his character, but I know the personal. We could write a great biography. And he goes, "Who'd read it?" She says, "He would." And they have this thing, this scene. It's one of the classic murder scenes in movies. He comes to her apartment. Lawton comes to her apartment and sees Ray Milland sneaking out, but he doesn't recognize him. He just sees a silhouette on the stairs. And he comes in, and they're talking, and all of a sudden he says, "Well, at least this one isn't in a uniform." And she says, "What are you talking about? Are you throwing that cab driver in my face?" He says, "Yes." "You never forget him, do you?" He goes, "No, do you?" She goes, "No." And she says, "Have you lived just long enough not to realize that everybody laughs at you behind your back? You'd be pathetic if you weren't so disgusting, you flabby, babby." And he picks up this sundial and killed her. Boom. And he looks into the camera with this startled look. And the very next scene, it cuts that he is sitting having drinks with George McCready, of all people. And he very calmly, Lawton says, "Steve, I've just killed someone." It's so great. I always say the two greatest, I know, the melodramatic murder scene, death scenes in noir are that one and Agnes Moorehead and Humphrey Bogart.
I love that. Yeah.
Ashes, you know?
She was really good in that movie. She really was great.
In a Claire Trevor part. You know, they never gave her those kind of roles, you know, because she would get so, you know, she just couldn't help it, you know. But boy, to watch those two actors, because by that time, Bogart was the consummate movie actor. He just knew how to work it. And she was right out of radio and theater. She was raw. And that's what she knew. And they, boy, they hit each other like, oh, my God, that scene's electric, you know?
It really is. I love that as well. And I like that movie a lot. It's one of my favorites.
It's my favorite one of all the ones they did together. That's my favorite
one. Bogey and Bacall.
Yeah, because of the character people in it. That Tom DeAndrea, who plays the little cab driver.
I love him.
Plastic surgeon.
That plastic surgeon, gee. I wish I could go to him for $500 and get my whole face revamped.
Right. Yeah, I know, really. And if I went to do a plastic surgery and I came out looking like Humphrey Bogart, I'd sue.
Well, it was funny what they said. They said, I'm going to make you look a little older. So it's like, what kind of plastic surgery is this?
Ever seen any botched plastic surgery jobs? You know, if a guy didn't like me, didn't like somebody, he could really do a number on them. He could make them look like a monkey. Oh God, it's great.
I know. Great. Take me away.
Oh. I know. And I don't think Bacall has ever been more beautiful than she is in Dark Passage.
She is gorgeous. And you know what? I like the more simple films. I also like Key Largo. I thought that.
Oh, God, yes.
It was such a. Oh. Claire Trevor, oh, my God. And you heard the story how when she sang, she was taking lessons and he said, you're going to sing today. And she said, but I haven't been, you know, I'm not ready. I haven't been taking lessons long enough. And he said, that's what I want. And she said how terrified she felt singing in front of Lauren Bacall, Humphrey Bogart, Edward G. Robinson. And it came across. Claire Trevor was amazing in that film.
And when she got done singing, Bogart looked at her and said, you just won the Academy Award and you don't even know it yet.
Did he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was so good.
He said, congratulations, you just won an Oscar.
One of your favorite love stories is Brief Encounter, and I disagree with you on that one.
Oh, do you? Oh, well.
You know why?
Why?
Well, I think Celia Johnson is the heart and soul of that movie. I adore her, those eyes, the expressive eyes, being the housewife. But with Trevor Howard, he, you know, when he wants to get her up to that apartment, he already knows he's going. And, you know, to me, he seems like he has been a playa before. That's just my feeling.
Well, I think that every man does, you know, and I think that there's a certain aspect of that. But I also like the way that when she can't do it, he acquiesces to her and takes her down and knows that she's not going to do this. I think he thinks that if he can seduce her, that will put the nail in the head. And he can't do it. He really doesn't do it.
Well,
and
the same thing. The whole part was she came running to the apartment and they were going to do it, but the owner of the apartment put the kibosh on that.
Yes, he did. But then they didn't make arrangements to go and do it anywhere else.
They didn't have time.
You know, and they did. Well, they also didn't do it, you know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, you know. Back then, I don't know, I didn't find fault with that. I think... Again, I just love the whole. I love catching. You have to catch romantic moments where you can, and they had to do that at such little times. And they were both such decent people.
They were.
I
just loved her.
Thing.
I loved her.
Oh God, yes.
We'd hear in her. I loved hearing her thoughts. I loved it when. I wish she was dead.
Oh, God, Dolly, I wish you'd die. No, I don't mean that. I don't mean that at all. But, oh, Dolly, oh, my God, she's so awful. Oh, dear.
But how sad was that when, you know, she shows up?
Hello, Laura. Hello. Yeah,
poor. And she knows, I wish I could trust you. But I know you're a gossipy old bitch, whatever.
yeah, and I wish she'd die. Oh, no, I don't mean that. You know.
I loved it.
She was just,
I enjoy the movie. I just saw it again the other night. And I enjoy the movie, but there's part of me that thinks to me, well, I know that to me, Celia Johnson is the heart and soul, this lovely woman, and this is something so far from her life. And I thought she was fabulous. I really thought.
She's great. If you watch, did you ever see Green for Danger?
No.
I did a review of that movie, too. That movie was made the same year as Brief Encounter. And it's the best whodunit, I think, ever done. Because it really is up in the air till the very last frame who does it. And it takes place in a British operating theater during the Blitz. And it's five people, four nurses and two doctors in this operating theater. And somebody gets murdered. And Alistair Sim is the detective who...
I adore him. He was the best Scrooge ever.
Oh, my God.
Do you like him? I loved him also in Stage Fright.
One of the doctors.
Yeah. He was fabulous. I adore Alistair Sim.
Oh, God. The best Christmas Carol ever.
Really?
I love his Scrooge.
Because you actually see him, and he's like, I can't change. I can't change. And literally...
I can't. I can't.
Yes. And you see this beautiful change in him. And I love the end when he's walking by and everybody loves him and Tiny Tim can walk. And
oh, it makes me cry.
Me
every
too.
Time.
I love that. It. That's so wonderful.
Because he genuinely changes. He's so delighted. And that lovely actress, Kathleen Harrison, who plays his housekeeper, you know?
Yes.
In keeping with the situation.
She was a riot. She was a riot.
I want to
talk about a couple others that you... I love Shadow of a Doubt, and that was also Hitchcock's fave movie. And you know what? I think that Joseph Cotten should have been nominated, and he has never been nominated. He's another one of those guys.
No, he never was, and he should have been for that because Hitchcock always said that the better the villain, the better the movie. And he was absolutely right. He said your villain should be your most interesting person in the movie. And he's right.
And he was.
And he was. Suave, debonair, and just happens to strangle widows. Well, no one's perfect.
I love, let's face it, that scene you were describing, whatever, with Hume Cronin and the other, and it's like, would you two please stop talking about murder? No, I'm just talking about murdering Herb, and he's talking about murdering me. And then the mother says...
We're not talking about murder.
Yeah. It's your father's way of relaxing.
Yeah, right. Oh, and Patricia Collins, who breaks your heart.
Oh, I know. She adores him. And I think he truly loves her, too.
Oh, yeah, he does. He does. But he is not beyond it, boy. I'll tell you, he is not... He is, oh, my God, that scene, but he's talking about how fat these bloated...
Fat, wheezing animals.
Yeah.
And what do you do with animals when they get too fat and old?
Uh-huh. And the camera slowly gets closer.
And she says,
closer.
They're people, or... And he said, are they?
Are they? Oh, my God.
I love that. What a wonderful, wonderful film. And it is...
I was just talking today about, you know, Hitchcock's use of amazing supporting people. One of my favorite performances in a Hitchcock film is Madame Leopoldine Constantine, who plays Claude Rains' mother in Notorious.
I adore Claude Rains is one of my favorite actor, and I've had his daughter on, Jessica, twice, and she is the sweetest, most down-to-earth broad ever. I adore her. And I got so much great stuff from her. But yes, that scene where she just doesn't really move. She takes that one arm. She gets a cigarette. She lights
it
with the one arm.
I know. It's instant Nazi. Just add smoke.
I know. It is. And that
line, fortunately, we are protected by the enormity of your stupidity for us for a while. Oh, my God.
She was
and
fat.
When she comes down the stairs and Ingrid Bergman first sees her, and she gets closer and closer and bigger and bigger and bigger. Miss Huberman, I'm Alex's mother. You didn't testify at your father's trial without that saying. Well, she didn't want me to. I wonder why.
Fabulous. It was so great. Or at the scene when they're at the racetrack and... Oh, is it so boring sitting with me? No, mother.
It's at the trial. Oh, yes.
That's a great movie. I love that. And Cary Grant was so good in that because he was not a nice guy. He was...
No, I loved him, but he, to me, is the consummate, ultimate actor in classic film. He could do it all.
Oh, comedy, drama.
He could do it all.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
He's amazing.
And I adore him.
Yeah, I do too. I love him so much. I love Cary Grant. And I just, oh my God. And breathtakingly beautiful. Just. And the other two that I think are so underrated as actors are Errol Flynn and Tyrone Power. And they made it look so easy that people took it for granted that that's what it was, just like Cary Grant. And it was the hardest thing in the world. To pull off those swashbuckling roles and make them sincere like real people, that you love them and admire them, unbelievable, unbelievable. And they just did it, you know?
They're both hunka-hunka-burning loves, let's face it.
Tyrone Power is so beautiful, it's just it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
You know, I look at the razor's edge. He and Gene Tierney, oh my God. Or The Rains Came. I love The Rains Came.
With Myrna. I do too.
Oh my God. And that movie is one of my favorite movies to turn people on to because I say this is such. Because that was 20th Century Fox's one shot at combating Gone with the Wind that year. That was their big movie that they put out to try to fight off Gone with the Wind. And they, of course, nothing could do it that year.
I loved how her husband died because he was such a bastard. The guy from the actor. What's his name? I adore him. He was in Suspicion. He did Sherlock Holmes. He was in Rebecca.
Oh yeah, Nigel Bruce.
I love him. And he got his comeuppance in When the Rains Came.
I tell people, look at these special effects. Fred Saracen, first Oscar for special effects. And no computers, nothing. They did this with, you know, matte shots and, oh, my God, that earthquake sequence and flood sequence is astonishing.
It really is. And what year is this, 1935?
1939. Yeah. That was the one Oscar that they couldn't give to Gone with the Wind. It beat Gone with the Wind. It beat The Wizard of Oz. It beat all of those movies, that earthquake sequence. It just blew everybody away. And the one that they used in the remake was very good as well.
It was.
The Rains of Ranchipur.
With that earthquake Richard Burton and Lana Turner.
Yeah. And they almost copied that frame by frame. They did the same thing. But it's fabulous.
Yeah, you don't need that blue screen nonsense. They just did really good stuff.
God. I still don't know how they did that Nigel Bruce thing where the walls cave in on
him. That was so great. And his butler's like, I'm not doing anything for you.
No, creep.
I can't stand you.
And that wonderful actress, Mary Nash, who plays Miss McDade, the nurse who's always been in love with Tyrone Power. And, you know, and she gets Myrta Loy to work in the hospital cleaning up after the operations. And then Myrta Loy gets sick and she crosses her off that list. And the look of remorse on her face, she breaks down and cries. Oh, so much said without ever explaining or anything.
Yes.
Know? That's the subtlety of great, great acting. You know?
It is. And I love that.
Because it's never addressed. In the book, that's addressed. But in the movie, that's the only time that has ever addressed. And the fact that she's much older than him, and she's been in love with him forever, and she just, nothing's ever going to happen with it, and it's just enough for her that he's there, and then he falls in love with this, who she thinks, insipid woman. And, they were able to do that in one scene. Clarence Brown was a great director.
He really was.
Yeah.
And that was a fabulous movie, and I love it.
Oh, it's fabulous. It's fabulous.
Let's talk about, is this your favorite horror film, The Haunting?
just about, I think it's one of the great, great horror films.
I do too.
I think it's the best.
Scares the hell out of me.
Story. It's the best. It's the best ghost story I ever.
Yes,
saw.
Haunted House.
Pardon me?
Haunted House stories, the whole thing.
Oh,
it was
God,
fabulous.
Yeah. It's, yeah. And I love the fact that Robert Wise, after he did West Side Story, they offered him The Moon and the Stars. And they said, anything you want, carte blanche, what do you want to direct? And he said, I want to direct this little book by Shirley Jackson. I love that he did that. I thought that was, so great. You know, I tell you what, can I sidestep for a second to tell you a little story about Robert Wise.
Sure.
They put together, you know, Star was the biggest flop of his career, and it was a big blow.
Which
they lost
one?
Star, that movie about Gertrude Lawrence with Julie Andrews.
Yeah, I've never seen
and
it.
Robert Wise directed that after Sound of Music. And so a few years ago, they found this lost footage to Star, and they put it all together, and they did a screening, and, you know, all these people were there, and Robert Wise was there. And at the intermission, I went down, and he was surrounded by people. And I knew he had directed my favorite actress, so I went up to him, and I said, excuse me, Mr. Wise. And he turned around, and I said, what about Susan Hayward? And he went, oh, my God. And he stopped talking to everybody else and took me and said, wasn't she amazing? And I want to live. And I said, yes, she was great. And that was such
she
a great movie.
I cried. How realistic. Oh, my God. She deserved that Oscar, baby, for
oh,
I Want to
yeah.
Live.
And that was a tough year.
Yeah.
That was a tough year. Because she was up against Roz Russell and Auntie Mame and Liz Taylor and Cat of the Hot Tin Roof and Deborah Carr and Separate Tables and Shirley MacLaine and Some Came Running, all in one year. That was tough. But I love Susan Hayward. I mean, I just, oh, my God. And he had directed her. So going back to The Haunting, yeah, I think that was it's so subtly directed. It's about everything you don't see, and a really good, scary movie is about what you don't see, not what you see.
Yeah, that's what you imagine. We use our imagination to think about what's going on here.
Yes. You know, Alien is like that. Alien is absolutely riveting to me because it's the best Where Is It in the House movie.
Yeah.
And it's not what you see. He doesn't really give you a good look at the monster. You just see what it's going to do. And that, the tension that it raises the stakes so much, you know. My favorite, another one like that I love is The Spiral Staircase.
Oh, my God. Yes, I was just watching your review on that.
Oh, my God.
I love that movie.
Oh, my God. That movie.
It scared me. And I was an adult when I watched it.
Oh, my God.
I got goosebumps on my arms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were all great. She was so good. Dorothy McGuire. Ethel Barrymore was fabulous.
Ethel, hide under the bed.
George hide Brent. Bed. Elsa Lanchester. Who else was in it? Rhonda Fleming was in it, I believe. And I don't know who played Steven. I don't know that actor.
Yeah, he was an actor. He came and kind of went. He didn't last very long. I don't know. I can't think of what his name is right now.
Oh, and what's the other dude? He was in Nora.
Kent Smith,
yeah.
Kent Smith, he was sort of like a milquetoast kind of actor. Once in a while, they gave him something to do. He, you know.
He was good in Norm Apprentice.
He was good in
Nora Apprentice
in The Fountainhead. He was good.
I never saw him in The Fountainhead.
Oh God, he's great. He's got that. He's the weasel. He's the weasel.
Poor Kent Smith. Oh, Mr. Weasel. Yeah. That's not fun.
Mr. Weasel.
That's horrible.
Here's a little bit of trivia. Here's a little bit of trivia for you for
Give
supporting
me some.
People. Okay. Okay. What two people were in an Alfred Hitchcock film and ended up on a very successful 60s TV sitcom together?
Okay. What two people were in Hitchcock? A 60s TV series.
Uh-huh. And they were in an Alfred Hitchcock, famous Alfred Hitchcock film.
Was it a comedy? Of no. The TV, I mean, the TV show.
The TV, yes. It was a sitcom.
Oh, I know that Casey Rogers from, she became Louise Tate on Bewitched.
That's right. And the other one is Marion Lauren.
Who was on Bewitched? Yes. Both were on from
Rogers,
Stranger on a Train.
Name was Laura Elliott.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, Strangers on a Train.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Pretty good. Are you impressed?
You're good. You're good. You went with Casey Rogers first. You just got me all excited.
Okay, I'm going to do some quick stuff for you.
Okay.
Just quick questions for you. Where are my quick questions? Here they are. Who is your favorite classic movie actress?
Classic movie actress?
Yes.
Betty Davis.
Who is your favorite classic movie actor?
Cary Grant.
I knew you were going to say that. Who do you think were the most beautiful and handsome of the classic movie actress, actor?
Tyrone Power and Jean Tierney.
I think so, too. I really think she was so gorgeous. Favorite movie of all time? That's a toughie because I couldn't answer it.
Vertigo.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I would never think. Did you do a thing on Vertigo? Because I didn't see it.
Early on, too early. When I first started them out, they were very short.
Yes, two or three minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I got longer as I got longer winded and older, I guess. But Vertigo. I think when I judge favorite movie of all time, I have to judge it based on as myself as a person what had the most emotional and intellectual impact on me. And Vertigo always, I saw Vertigo when I was 10 years old and I
wow.
never forgot it. And it just stayed with me. And I thought she was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. I thought that the whole story of obsession, I understood it. I understood where it was going. I understood why it was so dark. And I don't know. It's just always been, I love the score. Music is a big thing. I only listen to film soundtracks. That's all I listen to. And, you know, that's been, you know, that isn't to say that I don't listen to other music, but when I'm home and stuff, I just immerse myself in the movies. I love soundtrack. And Vertigo has one of the great, Bernard Herrmann, one of the great, great scores. I'd have to say, if I had to do like 10 movies, you know, the ones that appeal to me as a person, as the person that I am this time around.
Right.
And Vertigo is one, Black Narcissus. Is another one. Laura.
Love Laura, yeah.
The Letter.
Love that.
Bad and the Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Mildred Pierce.
I love that. And that witch, Vita, and that horrible Monty Barragan.
Yeah. The Last Picture Show, Peter Bogdanovich, The Last Picture Show. Song of Town. Sunday, Bloody Sunday. And I love Gone with the Wind. I love Gone
really?
With the Wind.
See, that's not one of my faves.
Oh, I love Gone with the Wind. I just love it. Yeah. I love her so much. I just love I never get tired of watching her. That performance, what she brought to the table for that movie was so
How
much
old
more
was
than
she?
Anybody
like 23
else.
Or 24?
23. Yeah. But you see, she had done all that London stage work. She had been on stage. She had just gotten done doing Ophelia with Olivier outside at Elsinore in Scotland before she did that. She had so much more well-roundedness to that character, and that's what that character needed, because it's a really basically a two-dimensional character. And she brought so much more. And her powers of concentration, being able to create that arc that that character travels, when that movie was in complete chaos and shot completely out of sync, is astonishing to me. And that's a credit to her, probably her manicness as well. She just, she just took that on and did it. But that that character, that journey, is amazing to me.
You know, there's a new Vivien Leigh book, and I'm trying to find the biographer. I know who he is, but it's hard to get these people sometimes. Also, I wanted to know, who was your favorite real-life Hollywood couple?
Real-life Hollywood couple? Huh. I'd have to say, just as a couple, not necessarily their work.
Right.
Because... So I didn't like all their work.
That's what I mean.
But
I just mean couples.
I thought Joanne Woodward and Paul Newman were a good couple.
They were fab. I have so many great pictures of their dancing and whatever. I love them.
Yeah. Oh, there's a picture. I'm going to have it posted on one of my Facebook pages tomorrow. There's a picture of him dancing when she won the Oscar, the two of them on the dance floor.
Oh,
and he's so proud of her.
It's so sweet.
So in love with her.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's not jealous. He's not petty. He's supporting his wife.
And it's so obvious that he's with the prettiest girl in the room. And she's been crowned queen of the prom.
I have that picture.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I guess them. I mean, I didn't know them. I don't know.
Who knows what went on behind the scenes, but
I love the look of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the look.
They were adorable. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us how you, we'll do one more question.
As many as you like. I feel like Judy Garland at Carnegie Hall. I'll sing them all.
There's so much. I want you to be a regular, Steve. I want you to come on, every, maybe 6 weeks or something.
I hope I haven't talked too much. Oh, my God.
Not at all. You know your stuff, and I love that. It's such a pleasure for me to talk to people who have the same passion that I do for classic movies. It's a thrill for me.
I think it's important. I created Title Queen at the Movies. We created that because I want young people to get interested in these black and white films because they're character driven story about people and problems. And if they don't keep them alive, they're going to go. They're the great art form.
It would break my heart.
It would break my heart. What's your last question?
My last question is basically, how did you start? You've been doing it 10 years. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And,
10 years in October.
And Johnny.
Johnny. I just did a play with Johnny.
Yes, I heard that. That's fabulous.
Yeah, yeah.
How did it go?
Yeah, we've acted a lot together. We've done a lot of plays together.
He is sort of your Ed McMahon. He introduces you. I like him very much.
I said, he's so cute. I said, if you get somebody cute to lure them in, then once they see me, they're already past that point. They won't be, I won't shock them.
You are adorable, so stop it, Steve.
Oh, you're sweet.
But I mean it. I think you're absolutely adorable. Oh, one more question. You actually know that horrible name of that song from The Byrds.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it?
Nickety now, now, now.
Doesn't that make you crazy? I always go, nickety, knackety, snickety, snockety, now, now, now.
No, no. Nappelty, nipplety, hold up, droppelty, poppelty, nippelty, go, nippelty, nippelty, nappelty, now,
now, now. I want to jump off of a bridge.
That kicks right in.
It's so horrible.
You want the birds to
get the kids after that song.
I know. I always do anyway. Get the kids first. Go after.
I always laugh. I laugh at that scene. I love the birds too. And her in that ugly chartreuse suit for 3 days. I'm like, Melanie, I hope you're rinsing your underwear and stuff because you are in 3 days in the same frock.
I love the way he photographs Suzanne Pleshette in that movie.
She's my fave.
The red, she wears the red sweater next to the red mailbox with the black hair, and you think to yourself, oh, she's on borrowed time, this girl.
I know, and I hated that she stayed there because she still was, you know, hot for Mitch.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like run.
Those are my favorite scenes of the movie, her girl talk scenes with Chippy Hedren.
Yes. You know? And they're, you know.
She's so smart. You know,
I love her. I love Danny. And then, of course, we're not going to tell. Snickety, snackety, ooh la la, packety. No, no, no.
Nipplesy, nipplesy, ripplesy,
now. Now, now, now. Yes, I was delighted. That's a fabulous film. Anyway, speaking of fabulous, I have been talking to Steve Hayes, and I wanted him on for so long, and through Mark Griffin. I love you, Mark. Thank you. I've had Steve on. Tired Old Queen of the Movies. Check him out on YouTube. Subscribe to his page. He's on Facebook. I like and I am following his page. And hey, you guys, I have a Facebook page, True Stories of Tinseltown, and I post pictures, and I try to do at least one or two tidbits, Hollywood tidbits a day. So come check us out. So thank you,
fabulous.
Steve. You are.
Thank you. This has been so much fun. It's been such a riot, and you are just delightful. And I thank you for the opportunity to let me come on and talk the talk for a little while.
It's so much fun. I know. It's so much fun to talk to somebody who knows their classic film. And you sure do.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And thank you guys for listening. You're wonderful. And I will be posting this very soon. And talk to you next week. Bye, guys. Thanks, Steve.
Bye.
With his pants falling down, or the dance that's a dream of romance, or the scene where the villain is mean, that's entertainment. The lights on the lady in tights, or the bride with the guy on the side, or the ball where she gives him her all, that's entertainment. Be hot, simply teeming with sex. A gay divorcee who is after her ex. It can be Oedipus Rex, where a chap kills his father and costs a lot of bother. The clerk who is thrown out of work by the boss, who is thrown for a loss by the skirt, who is doing him dirt. The world is the stage. The stage is a world of entertainment. Like you see on the screen, a swain getting slain for the love of a queen. Some great Shakespearean scene where a ghost and a prince meet, and everyone ends in mincemeat. The gag may be waving the flag that began with the Mr. Cohan. Hip hooray, the American way. The world is a stage. The stage is a world of entertainment.